காணருந்தோ தாய் சிதுவு காற்றும் நிகரற்ற நலனுக்கு நிகழ்த்துவாயே.
Namaskaram. Today I'm going to be talking about verse 5 of Arunachala Navamani Malai. As I said in the previous video in this series, verses 4, 5, 6 and 7 of Arunachala Mani Malai are all prayers. Whereas in the previous verse, Bhagavan was pleading with Arunachala, but with a slight hint of rebuking Arunachala. Do not think to let me pine away for you like one who hasn't thought of you. It's not appropriate to let me to leave me to perish as mud by as earth by taking this filthy body which consists of earth to be I. There's a slight hint of rebuking Arunachala, but in this verse, the bhava is, there's a subtle change in bhava. This is more pleading. There's no hint of rebuking Arunachala here. It's just pure pleading with Arunachala and praying for forgiveness for all the great wrongs he has done, that the devotee has done. So this verse also consists of four sentences, but the first sentence is a very long one. It takes up more than half of the whole verse. So the first sentence is Sirana Sonagiri Sirakkavarum Chitsarupanam Ireye Siryanain Tan Terana Pire Elam Porutu Katu Pinnum Ivan Pa Idanil Vira Vannam Karana Karane Viri Kodupai. This is, as you can see, it's quite a long sentence. It begins with he's addressing Arunachala. The address to Arunachala is Sirana Sonagiri Sirakkavarum Chitsarupan Am Ireye. That means, O Lord, who are Chitsarupan. Swarupa means the nature, real nature. Sarupan in Tamil, it makes the word Swarupa into a personal noun. So Chitsarupan, Chitsarupa is that which is of the nature of consciousness. Chitsarupam, it means one who is whose nature is consciousness, pure awareness. So, O Lord, who are one whose nature is pure awareness. Chitsarupam, Chitsarupan Am Ireye, O Lord, whose nature is one whose nature is pure awareness. Chit means pure awareness. Sirana Sonagiri Sirakkavarum. Sirakkavarum means shining gloriously or living gloriously as the sublime Sonagiri. Sirana means sublime. Sonagiri means Sona means red, Giri means hill, the red hill. Sonagiri is one of the names of Arunachala. Lord who is one whose nature is chit, pure awareness, shining gloriously as this sublime Sonagiri. So though Arunachala is pure awareness, ever shining in our heart as I, outwardly he appears in the form of this sublime Sonagiri, and he shines gloriously in that form. He lives gloriously in that form. So that is the address to Arunachala. Then begins the prayer. The prayer begins with Siryanain Tan Perana Pere Elam Porutu. Syrian means a small person, an insignificant, petty, unimportant person. One beauty in Tamil is that nouns can be personalized by, and may refer to a first person by adding ein on the end. For example, adia means a devotee or a slave. Adiein means myself, the devotee. So he's referring to himself as Syrian ein means, implies myself, this petty person. He's referring to himself as a petty person, but it's very specifically first person. That ein refers to the first person. So Syrian ein, myself, this pretty petty person. Tan perana pire elam, all the great wrongs of this of myself, this petty person. Porotu. Porotu means bearing with, it also implies forgiving all the great wrongs of this myself, this petty person. Katu means protecting or saving, but protecting in what manner? That is said, pinnum, even, par, idanil, vira vannam. In such a way that this one, even he's referring to himself, this petty person, even par idanil, that in this dissolution, vira, in such a way that this petty person doesn't fall again in this ocean, in this dissolution. In such a way, so protecting me in such a way that this petty person doesn't again fall in dissolution. Dissolution is here referring to the dissolution of samsara, or worldly existence, the endless cycle of births and deaths. And then finally, the final prayer, I mean, the main prayer is Karana Karane Viri Kodupai. Karana means, which is a cloud. Karane means grace or compassion. Viri means, it can mean eye. In this case, it means look. Kodupai, give me the eye or the look of your grace, which is a cloud. What he means by which is a cloud, again, Bhagavan often packs a lot of ideas in just very simple words. So when he says grace is a cloud, what does he imply by saying grace is a cloud? He means that it is always showering abundantly like a rain-filled cloud. That is the implication. But the words rain-filled are not there, and always showering abundantly are not there, but they're implied. As soon as he says that grace is a cloud, the image it brings to one's mind is of a dark, rain-filled cloud that is always showering abundantly. So he's that ever-showering cloud of grace. So look upon me with your eyes of grace. Look up is the implication. So the literal meaning of the whole sentence is, Lord, who are one whose nature is pure awareness, shining gloriously as the sublime Sonagiri, bearing with all the great wrongs of myself, this petty person, and protecting in such a way that this one does not fall again in dissolution, may you give the look of grace, which is a cloud. That is the literal meaning. The implication is, Lord, who are Chitsarupan, one whose nature is pure awareness, shining gloriously as the sublime Sonagiri, the red hill Arunachala, bearing with or forgiving all the great wrongs of myself, this petty person, and protecting me in such a way that this one does not fall again in the dissolution of samsara or worldly existence, may you give me your look of grace, which is always showering abundantly like a rain-filled cloud. That is the implication. So this is a very, very beautiful prayer. And it's a very very apt prayer for, as devotees, we all feel ourselves to be so wholly unworthy our minds are full of so many petty desires, likes, dislikes, attachments, fears, and so on, all sprouting from the vishaya vasanas with which our heart seems to be packed. So we feel ourselves to be so unworthy, and when we come to Bhagavan and he tells us that it gives us this simple path of turning within and surrendering ourselves completely, when we try to do it, we find ourselves, our mind is having found this direct path to salvation. Why our mind is still going outwards, chasing this desire, that desire, this like, this all these likes, dislikes, desires, attachments, and so on. Why our mind is constantly going after vishayas, external things, instead of turning within to merge within. So we feel ourselves to be so unworthy. We feel that having come to Bhagavan, still I'm nurturing so many petty desires and likes and dislikes in my heart. Still my mind is going outwards, seeking pleasure here and there in the trivial things of this world. So this is what Bhagavan refers to when he says, bearing with all the great wrongs of myself, this petty person whose mind is still going out. That is, he doesn't say all that, but the implication of his mind is still going out seeking pleasure in all these trivial worldly vishayas, the things, the objects and experiences of this world. So bearing with all that and protecting me in such a way that I don't again fall back into this dissolution of samsara, of constantly seeking pleasures in this and that and everything. So this is such an inexpressibly beautiful prayer and such an apt prayer. I think if we are honest with ourselves, it's so clear that Bhagavan composed this verse just for us, that he's describing in this verse our present condition so perfectly. And so much is implied here, and it's as I say, it describes our state so beautifully. So that's the first sentence. That's more than half of the verse. Then in the next sentence, he says, "Indrail kadum pavatin indru kareyera matein." Indrail means if not. That implies if you don't forgive all my great wrongs and protect me so I don't again fall into this samsara, and if you don't do so, and if you don't turn your look of grace upon me, kadam bhavatinindrum kare era martain, I will not be able to rise up on the shore from the cruel from cruel birth. Bhavam means birth. Bhavatinindra means from birth. Kadam means cruel. The term he uses for rising up on the shore, kareyera, kareyera matein means I will not be able. Matein means I will not be able. Kareyera means to rise up on the shore. Kareyera is as I said, literally means to rise up on the shore, and in a spiritual context, it is used idiomatically as a metaphor, meaning to be saved from the ocean of samsara, the age-old ocean of births and deaths. Now we are drowning in this ocean of samsara. The only salvation is to reach for shore and to rise up on the shore, to get out of this ocean onto the shore. That is the metaphor for the analogy that is used for salvation, escaping from samsara. So kareyera mate means I will not rise up on the shore, meaning I will not escape from samsara. And he described the samsara as kadam bhavam means birth. It implies birth and death, the whole of samsara, but he refers just to the birth. The birth is the beginning and the death is the end, but no death is actually the end, because every death leads to another birth, and every birth leads to death, and then to another birth, and it's endless. This is samsara, an endless cycle of birth and death. So long as we take ourselves to be the body, there's no end to these to birth and death. That each life is a dream, but it begins with a birth and it ends with a death. And this is samsara, and between this birth and death, we run around seeking pleasures here and there and everything. And the body grows old and eventually it drops off. And then again, because our desires are not yet satisfied, because we haven't yet vanquished all the vishayavasana that's in our heart, we again rise and dream another life. And it goes on endlessly until we put an end to the root of it all. What is the root of it all? The root of it all is our rising as ego. So that is why Bhagavan's path is all about annihilation of ego. That is, Bhagavan diagnosed what is the disease from which we are all suffering. What is the root cause of the disease from which we are all suffering? It is only our rising as ego. So to put an end to this, ego, to put an end to all this suffering, we need to root out this ego. And how to root out this ego? Only by turning within. But to turn within requires great love. And it requires, so long as we have strong vishayavasanas, we're not yet willing to turn within. We're not yet willing to... Turning within means, when we turn within, ego subsides and we thereby surrender ourselves wholly to Him. We are not yet willing to give ourselves wholly to Him. So that's why he says in the first sentence, forgiving all the great wrongs of this petty person, of myself, this petty person, who's still going after all these trivial pleasures of this world, and thereby ignoring the infinite ocean of happiness that is ever shining in our heart as eyes. So these are such beautiful prayers. And then the next sentence, he says, Neranadu undo thai sisavukku atrum niha atra nalanaku. That is a question. What he asks is there that which is comparable to the unequal good that a mother does for a child? That implies what a mother does for her child. When he says undo means neranadu means, literally means that which is comparable. It implies anything that is comparable. Undo, is there anything that is comparable? Thai sisavukku artrum neha atra nalanaku, to the unequaled niha atra, niha atra means that which is without equal. The good that the mother does for the child, the love and affection that the mother showers on her child, is it unequaled. So is anything equal to that? Is anything comparable to that? So the implication is, you are my mother and I am your child, so take care of me accordingly. That's the implication. He doesn't say that, but after pleading with Arunachala, when he says, is there anything equal to the love that the mother shows to her child? Is there anything that can be compared to that? The implication is that Arunachala is our mother. So like a mother, he must take care of us as a mother takes care of a child. The child doesn't know what it's doing. It may put its hand in a fire. It's the mother's job to stop the child doing anything that will harm it. So he has to stop us harming ourselves by allowing when we allow our mind to go outwards, we are courting so much trouble in this world. So just like a mother will protect the child and prevent it doing anything that will harm itself, he has to prevent us allowing our mind to go out towards this world. That is the implication. So like a mother, he has to care for us. And then he ends with just one word, Nihautu Vaye. That means, may you say. In other words, tell me, it's connected to the previous sentence. Tell me, is there anything equal to the, is there anything comparable to the love that a mother shows for her child, to the good that a mother shows for her child? So you are my mother. You must take care of me just like a mother takes care of her child. I am a helpless, worthless, disobedient, foolish child. But you are my mother. You must take care of me as a mother takes care of her child. So it's such a heart-melting prayer, and so apt for any serious spiritual aspirant. Will relate to this verse so wholly. Arunachala is, what is Arunachala? Arunachala is Chitsarupam. He is the very form of awareness. He's that pure awareness that is ever shining in our heart as I. But neglecting him, we're allowing our mind to go outwards. That is all the great Parana Pire Elam, all the great wrongs that it's all amounts to allowing our attention to go away from that Chitswarupa, which is ever shining in our heart as I, out towards this world. So Arunachala has to bear with us, bear with all our Vishayavasanas and our weakness in that is due to our weakness, we allow ourselves to be swayed by these Vishayavasanas. So he has to bear with all that. He has to forgive all our wrongs. And he has to protect us in such a way that we don't again fall into this samsara, as we are doing. Every time we try to turn our attention within, we turn it within for a few moments, and then again we go outwards and thereby fall into samsara again. So there's so much meaning is implied in these verses. But not only the meaning, the bhava, the longing, it's so beautifully expressed here. And as a devotee, we all feel ourselves to be unworthy. We've come to Bhagavan, we've learned about his path, we recognize what a simple, direct and perfect path this is that Bhagavan has given us. And it's so easy. What can be easier than turning our attention within? But still we don't do it. Why do we keep on failing to turn within and to surrender ourselves completely? This is our great fault. This is our parana. Parana means very great pira, our great fault of turning, all our great faults of every time we allow our mind to go outward, that is a great fault, allowing the mind to go outward. So, and when we allow the mind to go outward, then we do so many other wrongs. I mean, like the root wrong is allowing our attention to move away from ourselves. As soon as our attention moves away from ourselves, we do one wrong after another. So he has to, like a mother protects the child, he has to protect us from harming ourselves by allowing our attention to go outwards, by allowing our attention to forsake the Chitswarupa, which is ever shining in our heart as I, which is his true form, and going out after all the petty pleasures and of this world. So that is the prayer here. It's such a heart-melting prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Arunachala Ramanaya.